Welcome to another edition of Ultimate Key to Freedom, questions, answers, and whatever. Here's the first one for this week. This is from Jenny. I would like some clarification on having true creative essence help guide decisions. I understand the concept of watching the movie slash reading the novel of your own life, but when it comes to making decisions, either big or small, how do you know if it's the mind machine or true creative essence? Okay, Jenny, for your benefit and everyone else listening, I realize this is difficult. I realize it's confusing. I realize that it can be interpreted through a story. A mind machine story is bad news. But there's a fundamental distortion, lie, illusion, and story that's active here. And we talked about this a lot when you were at the Ultimate Key to Freedom live experience at my home. There is no Jenny who really exists who can make decisions. Decisions are made, and the total immersion reader, which is true creative essence, total immersion reading your story, is aware of the decisions that are made. But Jenny does not make any decisions. There isn't any Jenny that can look at what's appearing in inner space and say, oh, okay, is this mind machine noise? Is this true creative essence? How should I make a decision? Which information should I trust? You know, all the kinds of things that are parts of your question. That isn't what happens. This isn't a theory. This isn't a concept. This isn't a technique. This is not imagine that you're the reader of your story. Imagine that you're watching a movie. Imagine that you're a character in a story and therefore blah, blah, blah. This is the reality, my bias of what's actually going on. If you look at what's actually going on, the real Jenny is true creative essence. Again, I realize the contradiction in that, but this is the way it seems. So that's the way I'm going to language it until such time as it's not the case. True creative essence is total immersion reading the Jenny story. In the total immersion reading of the Jenny story, there appears to be the Jenny body, yes, that is named Jenny and that appears in story space and functions in the world and says and does and feels and whatever things. If you look at what's actually going on in inner space, and since you're talking about making decisions, we'll limit it to that. If you or anybody else want to talk about the same kinds of dynamics with something other than making decisions, that's fine, but I'll limit it to making decisions since that's what your question is about. Here's what happens. You, quote unquote, are true creative essence, total immersion reading the Jenny story. Again, it's not a concept, it's not a theory, it's not a technique. That's the reality. There is that reader that you are aware of, can be aware of all the time, that's reading the story. True creative essence, total immersion reading your story, is aware of everything that's appearing in inner space and story space, but for now, let's talk about inner space only. You could be making a decision, and in making a decision, you could be talking to somebody else on the telephone or in person or whatever, and so story space would feed into the decision. But for the moment, let's imagine that you're sitting by yourself. There's awareness of what's appearing in inner space, and based on what's appearing in inner space, you're going to make a decision. So here's what happens. You are true creative essence, total immersion reading the Jenny story. As the total immersion reader, there is awareness of what appears in inner space. So, if a voice appears in inner space that says, da 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 da, I really think I should make this choice in this decision, whatever it is. Oh no, you shouldn't do that, Jenny, because, you know, it might come back to bite you, you know, whatever else. If there's a dialogue that's taking place, however the thoughts are appearing, voices, videos, characters, whatever it is, it's different for all of us. There's the total immersion reader awareness of everything that's appearing. And this thought's going to appear, and that thought's going to appear, and this thought's going to appear, and that thought's going to appear. They may appear to be arguing with each other. They may appear to be defending different perspectives. They may appear to be afraid of this or that, or concerned about this or that, or trying to be a good girl or do the right thing, whatever shape they take, doesn't matter. A whole bunch of stuff's going to appear in inner space. And then ultimately, a decision's going to be made. An awareness of the decision being made is going to appear, again, it could be in story space if you're talking to somebody, you know, but the odds are it'll appear in inner space, however it appears. And it may be a voice that says, okay, I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. Here's how it's going to go. You know, whatever it is, somehow in your own unique setup as a unique character, so to speak, a decision's going to get made. And it's going to appear somehow, evidence of the decision, so to speak. It could be, odds are it's going to be a thought, or there's going to be a thought that's part of it, and then the Jenny character is going to do something. Let's say that the decision involves you making a phone call to somebody and saying, okay, let's go with option A. You know, I'm just making this up. You can give me specifics if you want in an ongoing dialogue, and I'll get more specific. But somehow the decision's going to be made, and you, quote unquote, as the total immersion reader of the Jenny story, is going to be aware of the decision being made, whatever that is. A voice talking, Jenny picking up the phone and saying something, Jenny typing an email, Jenny going somewhere. If you're in a store, if you're in a restaurant, you're looking at the menu, the decision of what you're going to order appears. However it appears, and then you become aware of the decision being made, however that happens, and then you are aware of actions being taken in story space. Again, let's imagine you're in a restaurant, same thing with anything else, but let's imagine you're in a restaurant, you're looking at the menu and you're scanning it, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to order the chicken with whatever. Somehow that becomes obvious, you know, you become aware of that. It could be a voice that appears in inner space that says, I'll have the chicken. I'll order the chicken when the waitress comes. And somehow the decision being made, regardless of what happened in inner space before it, it might be, well, should I have the chicken? Well, the chicken's this, and that's extra calories, and maybe I shouldn't do that, or I don't know if I'm in the mood for this or that, or maybe I'd rather just have a salad, or maybe I feel like a steak, you know, whatever it is that's going on in inner space. There's an opportunity, the options are presented, so to speak, that a decision needs to be made on. A bunch of noise, a bunch of stuff will appear in inner space as the decision is considered, or sometimes it's just quiet, you know, sometimes it's just options are presented, inner space is quiet, and then all of a sudden a decision is outputted, either into inner space as a thought, and then there's action in story space, or you witness the Jenny body, so to speak, saying, doing, typing, whatever something, but you become aware of the decision. Generally, there's a lot of noise and inner space on the road to making decisions, but the way it starts is options are presented. There's some sort of a decision-making process, whether it's behind the scenes and you're not aware of it, or there's a bunch of noise or discussion with somebody or whatever that you're aware of. So there's the presentation of options. There's what appears to be the options being considered, whatever that looks like, and then there's a decision. And the total immersion reader is aware of all of this. The decision is made. You don't make it. Again, don't take my word for this. This isn't an idea or a concept. Look. Look at what happens the next time a decision is presented to the Jenny character, or if you can remember something, so to speak, bear out the language. Go back to a recent decision that you made and see what actually happened. You'll see this. Somehow, options are presented that a decision must be made on. Some sort of a decision-making process follows that, however long it takes, whatever it looks like, whether there's silence or a bunch of characters or voices appearing in inner space, a dialogue with other people in story space, whatever. You become aware of options being considered. You don't do any of this. You're just aware of it. And then a decision is made. And you're aware of the decision being made. And then actions can take place that the Jenny body would do, and you become aware of those actions. You didn't do any of it, even if it appears that you did, even if there's five options that are being considered, even if a thought appears in inner space based on what you said to me that says, whoa, da-da-da-da just appeared in inner space. Is that the mind machine talking? Is that noise? Is that true creative essence talking to me directly? Maybe that appears now, maybe it doesn't, but ultimately what I just said, same thing happens. Same thing happens. And it's no different. Again, this isn't a concept. It isn't a new strategy. It isn't a new method or process for making decisions. It's what always has happened. It was just distorted by the magic trick. It's no different than if you were reading a novel and you were on page 256 and the hero of the novel is a woman named Jenny, or it could be a woman named Sarah, or it could be a guy named Bill. And on page 256, the same exact options are presented to the character as are being presented in Jenny's story. If you want to overlay this onto a real decision that you made recently or you make in the future, you turn to page 257 and you read, Jenny thought to herself, should I this or should I that? Well, if I do this, then that might, you know, whatever would go on in inner space in the Jenny story. Actually, imagine that on page 257, page 258, you're reading this whole thing. You're reading about Jenny talking to an advisor or a coach or a friend or a boss or an associate, you know, trying to make a decision, trying to consider the options. And you're turning the pages and you're becoming aware of Jenny's decision-making process in the novel. And you keep turning the pages and then all of a sudden, I'm making this up, on page 261, you read, Jenny decided that she was going to da-da-da-da. And then you read, Jenny, after making the decision, picked up the phone, called so-and-so, did such-and-such. And then the story continues. And so you're reading the story. And you're aware of the options being presented to Jenny that she needs to make a decision about in the novel. You keep reading and you read whatever, quote unquote, her decision-making process is, whatever thoughts there were, whether she talked to somebody or not. You're then aware as you keep reading of the decision that she makes after the process, decision-making process is complete. And then you're aware of whatever actions get taken as you turn the pages after the decision is made. Everything that appeared on the pages, everything Jenny said to herself, everything Jenny thought to herself, all the fears she might have had, anything she said to anybody else, anything anybody else said to her, it's on the pages of the novel. You're aware of it. It appears to be Jenny or her friend or her boss or her associate on the pages of the novel contributing to the decision-making process. But as you know, if you're reading a novel, it's always the author who shaped itself into everything Jenny said and thought and feared and anything anyone else says and anything that happens, it's the author expressing herself on the pages appearing to be Jenny and everybody else. The decision-making process is the author. It's not Jenny in the novel. Whatever actions Jenny takes as you're turning the pages of the novel is not Jenny. It's the author. It's the same exact thing. And you can witness this. Now, I get Jenny because I was like this. I saw that you were like this, very much so, when you were at the live event. Many, many other people are like this to varying degrees. Your mind machine was built to believe that Jenny was the doer, that Jenny was the decision maker, that Jenny had the power, that Jenny had free will, that Jenny did stuff. And it still thinks that. So it's now saying, okay, the mind machine is buzzing and worrying on the idea of making decisions in day-to-day life, personal or business. It's got new data in it from the experience you went through at my house, the live Ultimate Freedom. And so it's buzzing and worrying on making a decision. And it's saying, okay, what's my new strategy for making a decision? Still thinking that there's a Jenny and that it's in charge and that, you know, that and that's what's happening here. It's one of those stages, if you go back to the slides, I believe it was on day, I think it's the afternoon of day three, maybe day four, but I'm pretty sure it was the afternoon of day three. I go through the stages of the truth virus. And this is the, you could say, destabilization adaptation stages of the truth virus doing its work. And that's all it is. It's not a problem. You're not stupid. You're not getting it. This is all very common, but this is the truth. Jenny doesn't make the decisions. The decisions get made, quote-unquote, Jenny, as True Creative Essence, Total Immersion, reading the Jenny story, becomes aware of all of it, as I said, and then we're off to the races with whatever decision is made, whatever actions are taken, and whatever else happens as the story continues to unfold after the decision is made. And then the mind machine, historically, hijacked this whole process and said, Jenny made the decision, I made the decision, I'm the decision maker. Now I need a new strategy. Give me something to do. That's what's going on here, and that's all. And it's going to continue to appear like this. It's going to continue to be confusing until it's not. I mean, again, if you remember my story, the idea of Robert being the doer, the idea of Robert making the decisions, all these kinds of things were dynamited over time, not because I just woke up one day and was quote-unquote enlightened, but because As you might remember, review it if you want through the slides for day three, my story. All this stuff was dynamited through futility and dead ends and experiencing the fact that there wasn't any Robert making the decision, that Robert wasn't in charge, that everything that you've learned that you're calling a concept here, but that isn't, is the truth. And until that happens, again, this will be confusing. The mind machine will likely still want to know, how do I make a decision? How do I, Jenny, this individual, sort through, is this a mind machine thing or a TCE thing? You don't need to do any of that. That can now be there as part of the quote-unquote decision-making process that appears, but it'll take care of itself, like everything takes care of itself in an author in a novel because the author writes it to be that way. Same thing will happen. And if there's now a new thing that appears in inner space of what appears to be Jenny saying, okay, I'm trying to make this decision and da-da-da-da just appeared in inner space and da-da-da-da just appeared in inner space. Which one's the mind machine? Which one's true creative essence? Which one can I trust? The voice saying, which one can I trust? Is this the mind machine? Is this true creative essence? That's the mind machine. Masquerading in the way that I narrated, I believe, on day two, of how characters appear real in novels and how our characters were created to appear real. All of that is mind machine noise that's being total immersion read. And my guess is that there's some sort of a fry, mental fry, confusion, whatever that's going on right now as I say this, and probably went on to a certain degree when you were at the live event. That's part of the deal. In general, it's different for different characters, different stories. But so anyway, that's what I feel motivated to share here. I welcome a dialogue. Should you or anyone else listening to this want to continue it? Okay, here we go with the next one for this week. And I'm looking at this quickly and it is very long, so be prepared. Here we go. This is from Richard, who has all the material, including the bonus and audios mostly. So Richard has been through the course at least once, the experience. Okay, hi, Robert. And by the way, he uses heavy transformational vocabulary, putting a lot of things in quotes that reinforce lies, illusions, and stories and support the truth with a capital T, but I'm not going to read all of those. So just know every time he says I or you or me or these kinds of things, he's putting them in quotes. Hi, Robert. I have gone through all the material and I got an email asking whether or not I made use of the Q&A support page. For the sake of participation, this character chose to finish going through all the Ultimate Key to Freedom material before asking any questions or sharing. I'm going to stop there. By the way, that email for all of you listening to this, it's just a reminder. There are people who get involved with the course. They get the experience. They get the initial email. They're told there's a Q&A archive. They're told there's a place they can ask questions, and they just never get around to going there. They didn't pay attention, didn't realize they could go there to ask questions. So that's just a reminder, a little nudge that that's there if you want it, and some people use it and some people don't. Okay, continuing. As yourself, this character tends to say a lot when sharing or communicating. You ask that we be specific, and so I kept it to a minimum, and much of what is fascinating can only be said face to face. If the story is too long, simply delete it, no big deal. You mentioned in your last audio post that a system is meant to stand on its own, so I will work around that topic, loyalty to one system rather than mixing things up too much. Okay, I need to stop there. Again, I'm built to take things very literally. So when I see you said that a system is meant to stand on its own, that wasn't the literal wording. So I just want to make sure that we're clear. I realize you're just, using loose language and it's not a big deal, but I do want to make this point clear for everybody listening. That's just my bias. That's my experience that systems, so to speak, are designed to reinforce phase one dynamics, phase two dynamics, or phase three dynamics in my language. And they generally are meant to be used as a standalone thing, but whether they're used as standalone or not, in general, and true creative essence, as I said, can do anything. But in general, if you try to cobble together a phase one tool or system or technique or method with a phase two or a phase three one, it isn't going to work because they're incompatible. They're designed to do different things. Now, again, there's no cause and effect. There's no power in any of this. True creative essence could do whatever it wanted. But what the reason I made that point is because there's a tendency, and I've seen this with people who've come into my own sphere of influence. I saw this in the Robert story earlier on, not with the Ultimate Freedom teachings, but with some other things where I was developing my own model and I was using things and I was refining the model and I was refining the tools that were part of the earlier teachings. And then I came across somebody else's tool or technique that I really liked. And so the mind machine buzzed and whirred and tried to sew them together, cobble them together. And there's a lot of people that discovered the process or discover other things. And they say, well, if I just add da-da-da-da to the process, it'll be even more powerful. So I added the da-da-da-da that I learned from da-da-da-da, hoping that, and that just does not tend to work. And it tends to be a mind game. And so although true creative essence could do anything, in general, trying to cobble together a phase one tool with a phase two tool or a phase three dynamic, whatever, bear with all of this language, doesn't tend to work. And what tends to work for everything that I offer anyway, what tends to be the most effective is to use it standalone, not trying to cobble things together, overlay other things together, sew things together, combine things. But it's not so much that the combining, the cobbling together, again, it's not that there's something wrong with it or bad about it. The key pointer here is if you look at what's going on behind the scenes as to why is there the attempt to cobble these things together, there's a lie, illusion, and story at the core of the why. And it's a mind machine buzzword that says somehow things will be better. I'll get my results faster. I'll get my results easier, blah, 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 something like that. If I try to mix these two things together that I really like, and it's all just mind machine buzzword, lie, illusion, and story at the core of why the attempt to sew together, cobble together, combine different systems. So anyway, just wanted to make that clear. Continuing. I know anyone's mind machine can poke holes at everything you are proposing, so I tried not to go there. There is a sincere yearning for truth with a capital T, although you may still say it's all mind machine garbage. Again, I got to stop there. I don't ever use the word garbage. I don't judge anything of the mind machine. I call it noise sometimes. I call it lies, illusions, and stories. I know it can appear to be garbage, particularly if it used to drive you crazy or create some so-called negative symptom. But I don't look at anything that the mind machine does as bad or wrong or ugly or garbage or bullshit or anything else. It's doing what it was meant to do. Whatever it was designed to do by true creative essence was supportive to the story, regardless of how it was perceived in phase one or phase two. So again, I just want to clarify that. Continuing, starting in 1975 at 19 years old, and for 17 years, this character was loyal to a guru in India and tried his best with that system to the point of literally laying his whole net worth at the guru's feet as an offering, as there had been mentioned that one would lay everything at the guru's feet. This character was grateful. The guru did not take it all. As you might expect, a dead end was hit with rather strong movement in inner space that was labeled painful at the time. The quitting of the guru in his path was initiated by a rather serious, quote-unquote, betrayal by the guru in that story space. So then this character went back to something he had let go of when he met the guru, psychedelics. I turned to psychedelic shamanism, which is the last subject of your most recent audio post. Long story short, it also ended up in a dead end. I also like that dead end picture of yours. I'm stopping there. In case you don't know, there's a picture that I use in some of the presentations and I use in live events too, showing what phase one is like in so many stories, including the Robert story, which is hitting dead end after dead end, and it's this beautiful picture of a dead end street. Continuing, I was very loyal to the guru and his teachings, even though owning a spiritual bookstore and being exposed to so many teachings. I didn't bother reading any of the other teachings and systems, trusting that I was with the right one, but still offered all the other teachings, including non-duality books, to anyone who came through the store. Gonna stop there. By the way, you know, even from a phase one perspective, Nothing wrong with that. Certainly nothing wrong with owning a spiritual bookstore with offering all kinds of different things, whether you resonate with them all or not. There's all kinds of people out there with unique stories, unique whatevers, unique books that can support them on their unique journeys. And like any other business, you know, that offers things that are going to interest some people and not others, no big deal about that. That's not any kind of at the story level lack of integrity or honesty or commitment or whatever. Just want to add that in. Continuing, this character felt that he was going full circle and coming back to what psychedelics had shown him so much during his teenage years, 14 to 19. This time he would be experimenting with it, ayahuasca and such, on a much deeper and more mature level. The transition back to psychedelics happened because of a series of very expensive and painful betrayals, those words are all in quotes, by the way, which included the one by the guru. But as you probably guessed already, 3+ years into this, age 39, resulted in another dead end. And of course, what forced a switch to something else was what appeared to be overwhelmingly frightening and expensive stories, situations, losses, etc. By miracle slash synchronicity slash coincidence, or rather, entertaining a pre-written script, this character stumbled upon A Course in Miracles. So at 39 years old slash young, this character gave his best shot at doing only that one system. The path of A Course in Miracles is, quote-unquote, forgiveness. Just so we're clear, as there are so many misunderstandings around this course. Forgiveness is, quote-unquote, forgiving someone for something they didn't do. Not quite sure what that means, but anyway, nothing happened. The world is an illusion. There is no world, and God did not create it. Anything God knows about is real, with a capital R, and is what actual reality, with a capital R, is. So God doesn't even know about unreal slash illusion slash lies slash stories, etc. It is as pure a non-dual path as any. P.S. The mind machine was fucked with big time, having to observe, digest, and reprogram. The mind was blown by this still more than on psychedelics. And making any quote-unquote problem or story or thought slash emotion or anything or body out there real is all part of the problem. These are thoughts as distinguished, capital T thoughts as distinguished from lower T thoughts, etc., etc. This is where the metaphor of the movie theater was first encountered. It states that the whole thing is already in the can. All we are doing is replaying all the possible videotapes until we finally play the awakening videotape and awaken from the dream of separation. I'm going to stop there. Most of you already know about this, but I just wanted to share that that's part of a lot of spiritual teachings, and I could be wrong. My bias could be inaccurate, or it could be that, you know, anyway, my bias is, there is no obligation, responsibility, ultimate destination of playing the awakening videotape, just to call it that, and awakening from the dream of separation. It's just one ride in the amusement park. Everybody doesn't have to go there. Everybody doesn't have to do that. Every story doesn't ultimately end up there, is my base, is my bias. It's just one thing that can happen that is very interesting to me, my bias, and has been at the central core of the entire Robert story. But to me, it's not an obligation, it's not a responsibility, it's not a must. The earth is not a school that you must graduate from, no matter how many lives you have or whatever else. Okay, continuing. Much of this sounds somewhat familiar to the teachings, and is why my first communication to you stated that it was not paradigm melting or mind slash mind machine blowing for me. Okay, my bias, stop here. There are a lot of things. There are many people who have come to me and said, I think what you share is very similar to A Course in Miracles, or it's very similar to this, or it's very similar to that. My bias is it's not. My bias is it is at the surface. If one says everything's an illusion and another one says everything's an illusion, then yes, they have that in common. But my bias is the phase two teachings, the busting loose teachings, and definitely the ultimate freedom teachings, while there may be certain superficial things, in a sense, that are held in common, there are so many differences when you dig beneath the surface, so many yeah-buts that would appear to the Robert character about these other things. And I say that without ever having had a lot of experience with, I've had no direct experience with A Course in Miracles myself. I've just been told things. But when I'm told things or I hear things like this, I say, well, yeah, there are somewhat familiar certain things in common, but if you look at the whole package, my bias is no. But anyway, that's just my bias. Continuing, so like yourself, I spent much time, another quote-unquote coincidental 17 years, full-on with the course, going to workshops and diligently applying it to every aspect of my life. It certainly did help through all the further betrayals and losses that occurred, but it did not bring its one promise of awakening. Must admit that it is a miracle, quote-unquote, that I survived all of that, though. Maybe that's the problem. I survived, I in quotes. Ha ha, lots of laughs. It made clear that it would not necessarily change anything in your life, but that there would gradually be less and less fear, depression, sadness, etc., and that the true goal was awakening from the dream illusion. It stated that after having gone up so many ladders and having to climb back down and find another ladder, sounds familiar, that this time we were on a ladder that would bring us all the way to freedom, even though it is redundant. I get why you or with a lowercase y or you with an uppercase y would make the distinction of ultimate freedom. This character did what the course recommends and not pray for specifics, car/house/money/relationship/health, etc. Time and again, prayer to true creative essence would be that, quote-unquote, no matter what the price conditions, that the what was wished for was awakening. Please, dear true creative essence. True creative essence in the course's terms would be Christ or the Son of God, not God himself. We are of God, we are not God, but we can't be separate from God, so in a sense, we are God. Not quote-unquote bad, considering this course came through the brilliant quote-unquote mind of an atheist Jewish New York City Columbia University psychology professor. At one point, A Course in Miracles says, throw this course away, throw this book away, and come with holy empty hands unto your God. After 17 years with this course, I finally did that. Since the pain slash depression slash fear, etc., had increased what seemed like way more in the second decade of practicing the tools of A Course in Miracles. It was another painful dead end, and despite all the supportive non-dual teachings from India, etc., to support it. So, after hearing your introductory video, this character decided to go along with the suggestion and stay slash show commitment to the awakening process and buy your program. All the Ultimate Key to Freedom material has been gone through, and I will keep going through the audio files again as I was sometimes preoccupied when they were playing. And as suggested, I will go through the videotapes again. Question. Now that you've been teaching this for almost 3 years, has anyone had the awakening to ultimate freedom in their story to the ultimate degree that you've had? The answer to that question is yes. I am aware of multiple stories in which ultimate freedom has awakened. And you have to understand also that I don't necessarily have a lot of contact with people after they go through the course or if they've come to the live event at my home. So there could be a lot more that I'm aware of that I don't know of. But I am aware of multiple stories in which ultimate freedom has awakened as a result of participating in this experience. That's no big deal, by the way. That doesn't make me or the ultimate freedom experience special or whatever, really. As I mentioned, if True Creative Essence wanted to, it could have you go to a store, pick up a particular bar of chocolate, eat the chocolate, and it could create the awakening to what I call ultimate freedom. If it is the goal of True Creative Essence to awaken ultimate freedom using my language in a story, it can do it anyway. My bias is, if that's part of a character's story for ultimate freedom to awaken, True Creative Essence will do it with a story that will unfold over time and will have unique opportunities to have unique thoughts, feelings, sensations, experiences with the body, senses, and in story space, unique experiences there to go along with it. And that's what this is. The ultimate freedom experience, whether it's something that is had online as you're doing or live, which some people have done at my home or some other places around the world now, it's a unique way that true creative essence can get from point A, which in my language is phase one, to point B, which is phase three. It's not the only way. I have all kinds of biases about why it's different and why it's unique and why it tends, quote unquote, to support the awakening, but that's just my bias. It doesn't mean anything. It's all true creative essence doing whatever happens or doesn't happen. It's ultimately just an experience. It's just a path. It's just one ride in the amusement park. If I had said to you, Richard, 7,256 people, and by the way, that's not the correct number, but 7,256 people have participated in Ultimate Freedom, and 7,000 of them, it's awakened in their stories as a result, quote unquote. Or if I said 7,253 people have experienced Ultimate Freedom teachings, and five of them, you know, that it's awakened in their stories, it doesn't mean anything. In phase one, success rate, percentage of success, you know, all these kinds of things are important. They become part of the stories. They become part of persuading and convincing. They become part of the due diligence of people considering whether they want to do something or not. But it doesn't mean anything. Statistics don't mean anything. And ultimately, my bias is, if anyone, any character, true creative essence writes the ultimate freedom teachings, whether it's online or live, into a character's story, as I mentioned, there's purpose. There's a reason for it. And if the reason is that it's going to appear to support the awakening of ultimate freedom, fine. If it doesn't, or it doesn't as fast as a mind machine would like it or whatever, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it's just another experience like every other experience. It's just another unique ride in the amusement park, and it doesn't matter. So I just want to add that caveat. Continuing question. Not wanting to waste more time towards another dead end and approaching 60, what would you do? Would you do as suggested in your last audio post and stay committed to the one process that stands on its own and not overburden the mind machine? It continues. I'm going to stop there. Well, first of all, I have to say, and I realize, Richard, you and other people listening probably aren't going to like this. The mind machine's going to buzz, were and not like this, but it doesn't matter what I would do. I'm a unique character in a unique story, and I'm built to have unique biases and preferences and all kinds of other things, and the journey into ultimate freedom awakening in the Robert story was very different. So what I would do wouldn't matter. What I will tell you, and you've heard me say this multiple times, but it's the best support and advice I can give you in this context, is this. Imagine, and again, you've heard me say this before, I know your mind machine's going to recognize it and say, I've already heard you say that, you know, particularly if you've been through the audio archive at this point, and you may not have been. Imagine that you are reading a novel, and let's say the novel's 10,000 pages. And the novel is the story of Richard's life. And page one is when Richard was born, and I'm randomly making 10,000 pages, is when the Richard character dies and the story ends. So right now, you've narrated in this question here, you've narrated a lot of the Richard story as an adult on the change, fix, and improve, or truth, seeking truth path. But imagine that right now, you're on page, I'm going to make up a number, 8,000 of this 10,000 page novel, since you said that you're 60. And on the bottom of page 8,000, you read what you just said. You're turning the pages of this novel. You're reading it, actually. You, Richard, are reading this novel, or this series of novels, if you want to, because, you know, there isn't going to be a 10,000 page book. There would be a series of books like the Harry. So you're reading a book, but you bear with me. You're on page 8,000 in the series, even if it's whatever, a book's eight or whatever. And what you're reading is, Richard hit send on his email, on the email, and sent the comment to Robert, asking him, I don't know what to do. I'm playing here with the details of your story. I've been through so many paths. seeking truth with a capital T, and they've all been dead ends. And I get that ultimate freedom is different, but geez, I don't know if I have it in me to go down another dead end. And I don't necessarily trust my judgment. You're reading this. The character's expressing its thoughts and feelings on page 8,000. I don't trust my judgment because I bought into all these other systems. I thought they were going to help me. I thought they were going to be the path. So the fact that I think ultimate freedom is going to be doesn't mean anything. I don't trust that. Please help me. And at the bottom of page 8,000, there's the question. At the end of the email, just before Richard hit send, he said, Robert, what would you do? What would you do if you were me right now? So you're reading this novel and you just read that on page 8,000 at the bottom. You haven't turned to page 8,001. You've just read the last line on page 8,000 is, Richard typed, Robert, what would you do if you were me? And then he hit send and sent the email to the Q&A support place to Robert. Now, you're not necessarily aware of it consciously, but what's going on there at the bottom of page 8,000 is, as the reader of the story, you're wondering, gee, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what Robert's going to tell him. I wonder what he's going to do. And I wonder what's going to happen in this Richard character story. So you turn to page 8,001 and you'd continue reading. And as you continued reading, the story would continue to unfold. And somehow, the story would unfold between page 8,001 and page 10,000 when the story ends. And you'll find out what the author wrote to happen to Richard. So what I would do is simply, and bear with the language, you don't have a choice to do anything else, so the language isn't accurate, bear with it, but what I would do is you're on page 8,000 of the Richard story, there's another 2,000 pages using the random number, True Creative Essence has written them, something's going to happen in this amazing Richard story, and it's going to happen with the Richard story, the Richard character. I'll just use your language, you know, making a solid commitment to ultimate freedom teachings and ultimate freedom teachings only. It's going to be Richard abandoning the ultimate freedom teachings and continuing to look for something else or hearing about some other new whiz-bang teaching that's supposed to be a fast track to whatever. What's going to happen is going to happen. It's not up to you who you really are. Is true creative essence, total immersion, reading and experiencing this Richard story? And so something's going to happen. It's going to take care of itself. Just like in the Robert story, for whatever that's worth to you, I didn't have a goal. I did have a goal consciously. The mind machine had a goal of wanting to experience truth with a capital T, but I didn't have a goal of the specific thing called ultimate freedom awakening in my story as I've narrated. It all just happened. Everything that I narrated in the teachings that you're aware of online and what I've added in the live experience now over the last 3 years, it all just happened. And I was the total immersion reader of it, bear with the language. And so that's what's going to happen here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you make a commitment to only ultimate freedom and nothing else. You can't waste time. That's all mind machine stuff. And I understand it because I've been there. So stay committed to the process that stands on its own and not overburden the mind machine. It's not about overburdening the mind machine. It's just, that's just the reality. The more things you inhale at once, and the more things you inhale at once, the more sorting has to take place, the more the likelihood in many cases of trying to cobble things together and create a hybrid. What's going to happen is going to happen. And so what's going to happen is, True Creative Essence is going to keep turning the pages in the Richard story. You could look at it, you know, that every 5 minutes in your life, a page is turned. You could think of it as every time you wake up in the morning and you start a new day, you know, whatever. But your story is going to continue to unfold and we'll see. Rarely, since ultimate freedom awakened in the Robert story, will you hear me give somebody a specific suggestion or whatever. If that came through, I would. And I would say I have absolutely no idea if this is accurate or what's going to happen with it, but I'm feeling moved to say to you, blah, blah, blah. I rarely, if ever, I can't remember the last time. I kind of did it in the audio last time that you're referring to, or maybe it's in this audio, the question before yours. I rarely give prescriptions. I rarely give suggestions. I rarely give advice. Because although true creative essence could shape itself into giving me advice that would be followed, not followed, would achieve the quote-unquote desired result or not, it could happen. It just doesn't tend to be where I am. And right now, there isn't anything like that coming. So what's really happening is, like I said, you're at the bottom of page 8,000. You're wondering what to do. If you were reading a novel, you'd be aware of it. Okay, character doesn't know what to do. And they're tired of dead ends. And they're both excited and have serious doubts about ultimate freedom teachings and whether they ought to, whatever. And so you would be curious as the reader to see what's going to happen. And you'd keep turning the pages if you, Richard, were reading a story at the story level. And that's what's going to happen here, except you're going to be true creative essence, total immersion, reading the story. Okay, continuing. There are times when you ask us not to get stuck and hung up on your wording, so I'm requesting the same right now. Otherwise, it will be too long to write. At some point throughout the material, you mentioned something like, until one is capable of being peaceful amidst the continuation of one's problem, one has not had the ultimate freedom awaken in their story yet. That's the best I can express it for now. Forgive me if I've misquoted you, and if necessary, I will go back and find the exact words. I agree with this last idea. That was the A Course in Miracles promise. Okay, I'm going to stop there. First, when you say I agree with this last idea, all that means is the buzzword of the mind machine is outputting a conclusion of, okay, I can buy that. And you said that was the ACIM promise, Course in Miracles, which heavily influences the fact that the mind machine can accept that because it's seen it before and it kind of makes sense at some level. So what I actually said there is, it's not a rule or a formula, but what tends to happen, it's what happened in the Robert story and it's happened in a lot of other stories for reasons that I'll go into, but it's not a rule or a formula. It's not a must. There's no cause and effect power. It's not unless this happens, blah, 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 but it happens a lot, which is why I mentioned it. What tends to happen is something that used to repeat a lot in your phase one life, in your phase two story, used to drive you crazy, used to really stimulate negativity, so-called, on the road to ultimate freedom awakening will repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And as it repeats and repeats and repeats, there will in general be, if this happens, this is what happened in the Robert story, so that's my bias, a slow but sure erosion, weakening of the old and a new being born, so to speak, and getting stronger and stronger and stronger until the new replaces the old. And that both makes an extraordinary story, because if something that used to drive you nuts, send you into a rage, stimulate massive negativity from a phase one distorted perspective can happen multiple times, and you're the total immersion reader of it, and you're not being driven crazy, and your experience of it with a capital E is completely different, that's an amazing experience. And when I look back on all the kinds of things when that happened in the Robert story, it's delicious to me. It's amazing to me that those things could repeat multiple times, and the response, so to speak, the experience of it, being in a truthful with a capital T relationship with it was so different when I remembered how it used to always be. It's amazing. So if it happens, it happens again as a unique unfolding of a story of ultimate freedom awakening to give the opportunity for unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations and body things and story space dynamics in a three-dimensional total immersion story. But it's not required. It makes sense that that would happen, but it's not required. It's not in everybody's story. It's just something that can happen, and so I let people know so that they would have a little bit of preview to things to come if that sort of a cycle, so to speak, appeared. Okay, continuing. I must admit, I'm not sure how many more of the betrayals and losses I could handle all the while being peaceful. Suicide was contemplated, but I'm still here. I'm going to stop there. I totally hear you and get that, Richard. I felt the same way. When the stuff that I narrated as my story started to happen and I went through that cycle I talked about wondering if I was crazy, if everything I'd been teaching was bullshit, and I had to think about, oh my God, if this stuff is wrong, if this is another dead end, what the hell am I going to do? There'd be nothing left. There would be nothing left, especially because the Robert story was about not just seeking truth, but teaching truth and helping others Truth to Awaken in their stories, Ultimate Freedom to Awaken in their, if all of that was bullshit, then everything's gone. Passion, career, everything, you know? So I know what you mean by that. And it's a buzzword of the mind machine. It's the mind machine buzzing and whirring, kicking out a conclusion. Oh my God, here we go again. As I mentioned before, and I gave 17 years to Course in Miracles. I gave this to the guru. I gave that to whatever. And here we go again. I got a good feeling about this. You haven't said that, but I'm adding that. I have a good feeling about this, but Jesus. And I just don't know if I can go through that again. Again, been there, done that, get that. And it's a story. And if you go back to what Michael Hague said about the story cycle elements in the first video and then the journey from identity to essence in the second video, the journey from identity to essence at the story level and the truth level is not easy. It's difficult and challenging by design, but ultimately delicious and beyond appreciated and rewarding. Okay, continuing. Also, there has been such gratitude all along this fantastic ride, even for the quote-unquote perpetrators. It's a miracle that I'm still alive, actually, so gratitude often floats around in inner space. But honestly, I am hoping True Creative Essence doesn't keep writing a bunch more of that stuff, as it would be like True Creative Essence sending you more intense, poisonous relationships to live with just to prove/see that true awakening has occurred, or something like that. I'm going to stop there. Again, Richard, I understand the fear. I get that. I hear you. And if you go back to my story, that's what happened in the story. The intense poisonous, just to use your language, I wouldn't use that language, but intense poisonous stuff did continue to repeat until it could appear in the story. And there was a truthful with a capital T relationship with it. It repeated over and over and over. There was a truthful relationship with it. And then it disappeared. Now, at the moment of this recording, which is May 2015, I have not gotten into, at the story level, another relationship with another woman, and so we'll see what's going to happen. But as you know, my bias, my prediction, it's all just mind machine thought appearances, doesn't mean anything. It could be True Creative Essence talking to me and giving me a vision, doesn't matter, we'll see, is that those kinds of things aren't going to recur for the obvious reasons that the cloud cover's been knocked out, ultimate freedom's awake. Those kinds of things did recur, not just with my ex, but also with my mother and with other situations. And so I understand, and I understand the mind machine buzzing and whirring and saying, shit, I hope True Creative Essence doesn't keep doing this. You know, I've been there, done that again. And what's going to happen is going to happen. And no matter what, who you really are is the total immersion reader of it. And when ultimate freedom is awake, and that is the experience of it, total immersion reading of the story, it doesn't matter because you've read stories, you've watched movies. I'm just going to use judgmental language. You'll know what I mean about bad stuff happening to good people. And it can still be a riveting story. And you still don't want to go to bed because you want to see what's going to happen to the character. So you keep watching it or want to tune into the TV show episodes as the story unfolds. Okay, continuing. Kind of like when you felt there was your higher self throwing monkey wrenches in there all the time just to fuck with you. Question. Would you be okay living in the exact same situation with a wife who seemingly hates you in the very same way your ex-wife did? Okay, I'm going to stop that. Again, I wouldn't language it that way, but I know what you're pointing to. So, at this point in my life, Richard, you may have heard me say this before, you may have, but I don't deal with theoreticals. They don't have any value to me. To make up a purely theoretical thing and then try to imagine, you know, what would it be like? The truth is, when the total immersion reader, so to speak, is awake, when ultimate freedom is awake, it doesn't matter what's happening in the story. It doesn't matter the content. The relationship to it is different, and it's a different kind of an experience. So if True Creative Essence had written a Robert story in which ultimate freedom awakened, and Robert and my ex stayed together, and it continued to be, from a judgmental phase one perspective, difficult, whatever, then it would have written that story, and Robert would have done what he did based on what True Creative Essence wrote. And it could be they stayed married, but they started drifting further and further apart. It could be they stayed married, but they lived in different places. It could be they stayed, it doesn't make any difference. I don't know. And there isn't any limit or restriction on any of this. True Creative Essence could write whatever it wanted. So what I can tell you is, because I've experienced this, and I know others, it's not just me, bear with the language. When total immersion reading is happening, when ultimate freedom is awake, it doesn't make any difference what's happening. And you can also verify that from your experience. You have likely read novels, watched movies, watched a TV show series that went on multiple years where bad stuff happened to good people. There was tragedy, there was bad luck, there was loss, there was people being betrayed and all these things. And you found the stories interesting, funny, whatever. And you tuned in every week to continue to see these characters be beaten up, treat each other badly. You continued to read a series. I mean, you could say that that happens in the Harry Potter stories. I mean, arguably the most successful fiction series ever. There's a lot of darkness in that, so to speak. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of Harry being beaten on and not being treated very nicely and one struggle after another. And yet, millions of people all over the world tuned in to watch, bear with my language, I'm just taking a heavy-handed view on this, to watch J.K. Rowling beat up on Harry Potter through this journey of him ultimately defeating the ultimate bad guy. But it didn't matter because it was a fascinating story and it had all the elements Michael Haig talked about stories. And he was the hero and you were rooting for him and you were wanting him to beat the bad guy. And there were setbacks and all the when you're reading a story, watching a movie, watching a TV show, playing a video game, whatever, the relationship to it all is different. So would I be okay as a theoretical? Yeah, that isn't what's written, though. And I was in that situation through a huge chunk of that My Story thing, where there was this difficult stuff happening in the relationship. I was still in the relationship. The difficult stuff was repeating. Ultimate freedom was awakening through some of it. It was awake through some of it. And I was okay with it, to use your language. But again, it's a theoretical question. It doesn't mean anything. And what's underneath it is, oh my God, if more bad stuff happens to Richard, is it possible that I could be okay with it? I mean, that's where the mind machine is really buzzing and worrying underneath your question of what would I do? So I'm continuing now. I'm guessing it's not something you would choose. Stopping there. Richard, there isn't any me that can choose anything, just like there isn't any you that can choose anything when you're reading a novel. A mind machine output, a thought can appear, a character can appear, an inner space that says, oh boy, like you've narrated, I hope that doesn't happen. I don't like this, I don't like that in phase one or phase two, but total immersion reader is awake, and the total immersion reader, who Robert really is, so to speak, doesn't choose anything. So anyway, continuing. So if it's in your script, will you be okay with five more of those relationships, one after another? I'm saying this only as a reflection of the last five interesting betrayal losses that have been showing up in story space for me. Actually, it's more like 10 in a row. And I know that this sounds like I'm not okay with what is and that I'd like for things to be different or better or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I guess True Creative Essence knows what's best, but somehow I guess I might have been under the false impression that peace and freedom from suffering was the ultimate key to freedom and A Course in Miracles and non-duality goal. Okay, this is just a pure mind machine dump, Richard, based on everything that's in its database about the bad stuff in Richard's life, the promise of all these things, the dead ends, the betrayals, everything else. That's just a mind machine, mind noise, idea and concept dump. If you notice that I use the language, I don't say that I may from time to time have said it, but the more precise language and what I use consistently now is the opportunity on this path is for ultimate freedom to awaken. It's not guaranteed. It isn't going to happen in every case, but it's the opportunity. And by lack of a better term, don't take it too literally, being on this path, embracing this, that is what led to ultimate freedom awakening in the Robert story. But again, you have to remember, Richard, that peace and freedom from suffering is not about my bias, negative emotions disappearing called, anger, frustration, depression, negative emotions. It's not about those going away. It's about the stories going away, with which you know. It's about being in a truthful relationship with all the movements of energy and inner space that we call emotions. It's not about the negatives disappearing and the positives being left, all of which feel good. That's not what peace is. Peace to me is being in a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with everything. Freedom is not about never having a challenge, never having resistance, up, 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 up in everything you do, easy, 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 and everything. That's not what freedom is about. There are a lot of people that'll say that, but that's not what it's about. Again, if you remember, I believe this is in the videos that you went through. If it's not, come on back and let me know, and I'll talk more about it because it's something I've added in the 5-day. Ultimate freedom is not about specific content appearing or disappearing. It's about the relationship, with a capital R, the perception of, with a capital P, what's appearing. And yes, this is the ironic, funny thing, and it kind of creates a collision, and it can create a goal when it's not meant to be. Ironically, when ultimate freedom awakens, when there is a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with everything that's going on, there is also the opportunity for major things to change, and things that used to repeat not happening anymore. Recurring patterns like what you call betrayals or bad luck or ups, downs, whatever, for those patterns that used to repeat endlessly, for most of the Richard story, for most of the Robert story, to stop repeating, for new patterns to surface, for new experiences of, you could call it good luck, you know, whatever else. There is the possibility for those kinds of things. You know, if you go back to what Michael Haig talks about, that the final stage of the story is what's called the aftermath, where you get a good glimpse of the life of the character after the journey that the story is about has been taken, and the journey is very different. But what very different is going to look like if we were to take 10,000 stories, and in 10,000 stories in which ultimate freedom awakened, we would see a lot of things that would be held in common of how things changed, but we'd also see thousands and thousands and thousands of variations of what the day-to-day details were like, and it wouldn't matter, because when total immersion reading is happening, the content doesn't matter as long as there's the experience, the opportunity to feel, to have unique thoughts, feelings, sensations, things with the body, things in story space that are an enjoyable story, so to speak, like Michael Haig talked about. So if the mind machine is holding on to a certain definition of what peace and freedom from suffering is going to look like, and that particular picture, that particular definition is inaccurate, then it's not going to happen with anything, just like it didn't happen with anything that you tried before. But with what's shared in Ultimate Key to Freedom, again, the ultimate opportunity is to be in a truthful relationship, with a capital T, with everything, including the stuff that you used to look at as bad, terrible, awful, get me the hell out of here, please make this stop. And once there is that kind of a truthful relationship, and this is heavily influenced by my bias, what happened in the Robert story, the door then opens for many, many things to change, because they're not needed anymore. They were supportive to phase one. They were supportive to phase two. They're not needed anymore in the story on this kind of a path once ultimate freedom is awakened, but there's no guarantee. Okay, continuing here. And for you, it would be possible to keep experiencing the same thing with one wife, but for me, it would have to be continuous betrayal and loss, so-called stories, for it to keep happening, not just simply one loss or betrayal. I don't know what that means, but what this is starting to sound like to me, Richard, and no judgment or criticism or negativity, so to speak, it's just what's appearing in inner space, is that this is just a mind machine rant. It's just a pure output. You know, it's kind of almost like, don't take this too literally, but like the mind machine's on a roll with looking at this kind of stuff, and it's just dumping out all this stuff. That's a lot of noise. Not that it's valueless or you're wrong or anything like that, but just that's what I think, that's what I see this as being. Bear with the language. Continuing, I know one can be in pain and still not suffer. That's what we are taking the red pill truth virus for. Again, to me, this is idea, concept, mind machine noise. You cannot be in pain and still not suffer. I mean, there probably are teachings out there that say that pain is a label that's negatively tinged with bad stuff happening, so to speak. And so it's not that you can experience a bad thing and not experience it as bad. It means that you can experience anything as good. Let's just language it that way. It's that it just isn't experienced as pain. It's not, oh, I'm in pain, but I'm not suffering from it. It's, oh, this feels really bad, but it doesn't feel really bad. Again, there's a bit of a disconnect. And you may say, well, Robert, I put pain in quotes, and that's what I meant. But I'm just kind of pushing on that. So you can, when ultimate freedom is awake and total immersion reading is happening, anything can appear in inner space. Any thought, any feeling slash emotion, any sensation related to the body, and anything can appear in story space. And there's no problem with it, which, again, is the exact same thing that happens, with some exceptions, but not many, when things appear in novels, when things appear in movies, when things appear in TV shows, but the relationship to it's different. Continuing, after putting in 17 years of arduous work towards non-dual freedom and asking for that only, there seems to be caution floating around in inner space about committing to only this path on its own. The process is ongoing, even though I'm clearly not awake, as I would probably have very strong currents of emotion, sensations, thoughts, videos, and voices swirling around in inner space that I would label painful and sad. Okay, I'm going to stop there again. I understand that. Again, Richard, that's not you. It's not what you think. It's not your opinion. It's the output of the mind machine. And it's perfect example of the questions that the mind machine runs through. The mind machine is aware of the ultimate freedom teachings, and at this point, it's just looking at them as ideas and concepts. There's nothing experiential going on here. There's just a dance with the ideas and the concepts, which is what also, by the way, happened on all these other paths based on the way you're narrating it. That's what I would say. It's now looking at this with the history, and it's saying, what is this? Oh, it's another spiritual teaching. What does this mean? Well, it's a path that could lead to another fucking dead end, or it's a path that really could lead to truth. And I don't know which. You know, and as the mind machine is running through its database and answering the second question, what does this mean? It's, you know, I committed to all these other things. I gave 17 fucking years to A Course in Miracles. 17 years, Robert! I'm not any wimp, casual person that just dips his toe. I gave 17 years, you know. And, you know, and so, and then how should I respond? That's where you are right now. The mind machine is trying to answer the question, and you're aware of it as the total immersion reader. The mind machine's trying to answer the final question, how should I respond? And it doesn't know. But it's just buzzword. And it's irrelevant in a sense. Not wrong, not bad, not you should make it stop, not a problem. It's irrelevant because, as I mentioned before, which is the most important message in this entire long narrative of mine, is that you're on page 8,000, there's 2,000 more pages, just using those random numbers, the story's going to unfold, this is going to go where it goes, there's going to be a commitment to ultimate freedom teachings only, there's going to be an abandonment of ultimate freedom teachings and an embracing of something else, there's going to be a commitment to ultimate freedom teachings and then the discovery of something else and an attempt to cobble them together to create a hybrid that'll finally get truth to awaken, you know. What's going to happen is going to happen, day at a time, page at a time, just like it is minute at a time, second at a time when you're watching a movie or a TV show. We'll see. Okay, continuing. Who knows? Maybe not. Let's see as I keep turning the pages. Yes, absolutely. That's me saying yes, absolutely. Continuing, maybe non-duality is not for this being. The guy who turned me on to you seems to be pointing to something that's dual and non-dual, as weird as that sounds. I don't know what that means, but that's okay. There is one realization slash insight that appears clear. It is that there is nothing that I can do to help this along, so I guess that true creative essence will, quote-unquote, grace slash write awaking ultimate freedom in my story, as it seems to have for others like yourself when that page is reached in this book, or the seventh. Stopping, exactly, exactly. That's the most important and most truthful, I feel like saying, bear with the language statement in the entire share here, and it's the most important thing that I've shared, is that that's the truth. We will see what happens, and yes, who knows? Continuing, maybe there is a unique awakening for each and every one of us, and it doesn't show up at all like anyone else's. Yes, of course, I'm stopping here. Of course, that could be the case. And again, if we were to track 10,000 people that were characters and in their stories, the Ultimate Freedom Teachings appeared, we'd see all kinds of stuff. We would not see Ultimate Freedom Awakening in 10,000 stories. And if True Creative Essence wrote for 10,000 characters in their stories for the Ultimate Freedom Teachings to appear and Ultimate Freedom Awaken, I'm making up a random number and 4,000 of them, the way it awakened, what happened between point A and point B, the twists and turns, the obstacles, what were the biggest difficult things that got pushed on that repeated until there was a truthful relation, all different, all unique, and then there would be certain things in common. Pure raw experiences separated from stories, or pure raw experiences and stories, but being total immersion read so that it's not a problem. But we'd see all kinds of unique variations. Again, you could argue with this from an intellectual perspective, but why would an author write the same story over and over and over and over and over again? Why would you read the same exact story over and over and over and over again? If you like to read fiction, if you like to watch movies, if you like to watch TV shows, yes, there can be certain things in common in the structure, like Michael Haig talked about, but the stories would have to be unique or you wouldn't enjoy them. So why would True Creative Essence shape itself into the same exact character going through the same exact experience, having the same exact thoughts, feelings, sensations, story space dynamics over and over and over and over again? There's always variations even when it appears to be the same. And it generally isn't the same to any kind of a degree when you really look closely. Continuing, do you suggest I go through all the material again and let the truth virus do its thing? Stopping there. Again, I don't have a suggestion or prescription. We'll see. What I can tell you is what seems to be screaming off the page here is, bear with the language, the mind machine has exposed itself to the teachings and it's simply looking at them from an idea and concept level with this caution thing that you're talking about. Nothing has been experiential here. If you go back through the Q&A archives, you'll see stories in which characters are narrating that things are happening differently in inner space, that pure raw experience is separating from stories, that they're experiencing this differently, that's appearing differently, this is happening. I haven't heard any of that here. So it appears that what's going on here is the mind machine is evaluating the Ultimate Freedom Teachings at the pure idea and concept level with this fear and doubt and caution thing. Nothing has, the truth virus hasn't done anything. There hasn't been any shift in experience. It's just thinking about it all, so to speak, at the pure idea concept theoretical level. And if you go through the material again, you know, maybe that'll happen, maybe not. Let's see. And it's not letting the truth virus do its thing. This isn't up to you, as you said. I know the mind machine still thinks it can be or can have an influence or whatever, maybe. Definitely for some people listening to this, but I don't know. I don't have a suggestion for you. What I can tell you is it's not experiential to any degree at this point based on your narrative, and so it very well might be supportive to go through it all again after letting some time pass. You might want to go through the archive of Q&A, which would take you a long time at this point, before going through the I don't know. True Creative Essence will write it. I don't have a prescription or a suggestion. The best thing for the Richard character is what's been written and what will unfold on its own. You can't screw this up. You can't make a mistake. You can't do it wrong. What's going to happen is going to happen as the pages get turned, as you narrated just a few minutes ago. Continuing, sounds an awful lot like magic, but maybe that's where Course in Miracles was wrong? ? I don't know what that means. It is kind of magical to see the kinds of changes that have appeared in the Robert story, but what you mean by that, and I don't know what Course in Miracles says about magic. It doesn't matter. Continuing, do you have a sense of what you would do in my place? Thanks much for reading this far and for sharing your wisdom with us all, Richard. No, I don't. I have absolutely no idea, because what's awake right now in the Robert story is the total immersion reader, and the total immersion reader doesn't know what's going to happen, doesn't make decisions in advance, doesn't have plans in advance, doesn't try to figure out what experiences are going to be like in advance of having them. You wait for the pages to be turned, you wait for the seconds to unfold in a movie. And so, no, if I was in your exact, it's a pure what I call bullshit theoretical. That number one, I don't have an answer, but even if I were to try to speculate and the mind machine were to buzz and whir and try to make up a story, it wouldn't have any value, but that isn't appearing. So again, Richard, there's a lot of stuff in this. Not right, not wrong, not good, not bad, not problem. I'm not being judgmental, critical, or negative. There's an awful lot of mind machine spew in this, which I think you're aware of. It ultimately came down to a truthful perspective on it. When you came to the who knows, we'll see, let's story will unfold, whatever. Again, that's the most important message. This will all take care of itself. You got to believe that all this kind of stuff and a lot of other stuff appeared in inner space in the Robert story, in what I narrated briefly as my story on day three. I know what this is like. I know what it's like when it keeps repeating and it appears there's a character that says, oh, shut the fuck up, will you? I've been hearing the same shit for whatever. I don't need to hear it anymore. I get it, all right? Or I don't want to hear it anymore. It's crap. It's not true. It's mind machine noise. Stop driving me crazy, TC, you know, whatever. But this will take care of itself. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Keep me posted if you have other questions or whatever. But ultimately, the magic, as I call it, that can happen as Ultimate Freedom Awakens is when this drops from idea, concept, theoretical, intellect, understanding, thinking, analysis into actually seeing with a capital S the truth of what I shared, of what's appearing in inner space, what really happens with thoughts, what really happens with feelings, what really happens with sensations, that this total immersion reader really is there. Has always been reading, but this magic trick made it seem like Richard was doing it all, and Richard was aware of struggling and betrayal and loss and dead ends. And it's experientially verifying, I'll just use that language, it's not accurate, the truth of what's shared, not thinking about it and coming to logical understanding, intellectual idea, concept, conclusions. That's worthless on this path, although it's a good first step, so to speak. It's a useful first step. But ultimately, it has to drop into actually being experienced with a capital E, actually being seen with a capital S, and that's when the magic happens. That's when things change. If it stays at the idea and concept level, there'll be endless loops. There'll be endless fears. There'll be endless doubts. There'll be endless collisions. There'll be endless consuming of other teachings and trying to cobble them all together, create hybrids to get through, blah, blah, blah. When everything that's shared in the Ultimate Freedom teachings becomes experiential, everything changes. Completely different ballgame. All right, here is our next one. This is from Daichi. And apologies to Daichi. I guess I assumed last week that it was a woman instead of a man, and he corrected me. So apologies for that. Hi, Robert. Thank you for your comment last week. It was very helpful. And just so you know, you called this character Daichi, she or her, but this character is actually male. Because I am Japanese, I guess it was hard to tell. Yes, okay, apologies again. Anyway, I've got two questions. First, in inner space, you say there are four kinds of thoughts that can appear. Photograph, video, sound and voice, and words. By the way, he's using transformational vocabulary, putting I in such words and quotes, but I'm not going to narrate the quotes. I see the first three appear in my inner space, but I'm not sure what you mean by words. I hear words, but this means it is sound and voice. Although I've never experienced this one, but I can also imagine words as photos pop up. So how would you tell the difference between photographs or sound and voice and words? Okay, first of all, let me add that when I do the live Ultimate Key to Freedoms now, most of the time at my house, but I have done some in other places, I've added a fifth kind of thought that can appear, which is what I call a thought ball. And what it is it's just an appearance that has information attached to it. It's typically what people would call intuition or sixth sense or whatever else. It's not a picture. It's not a video. It's not a sound. It's not a voice, it's not words, but there's information there that you just somehow know. So that's the fifth type. But to answer your question here, I added this in. It's unusual, but there are some people that actually see words. And I guess technically you could call it a photograph, but instead of seeing like a yellow color appear, they would see Y-E-L-L-O-W. Instead of seeing, a black color, they'd see the word black, B-L-A-C-K. They would actually see words. So you could say that it's a photograph of words, but it really doesn't matter. We don't need to get this kind of anal or particular or specific on this. The point of me breaking up the different ways that thoughts appear are just to dissect and take apart the magic trick and to show what's really going on in inner space. Everything doesn't have to fit exactly, but actually now that I'm saying this, it's the first time that I actually thought about it, that when words show up, technically one could say it's a photograph, of the words. But sometimes when I say photograph, it actually is a photograph, and it's got a border and it's a square or a rectangle and it's a photograph. But other times it's something else appearing. So anyway, you don't really need to tell the difference. A photograph is just like what you'd see. Like if you go to Google Images, for example, there's a bunch of images and photographs that are there. They're still images. They're still photographs. They're not a video. They don't move, but they're a video image. They're a video photograph or image of something. And so a sound is a sound or a voice. And words are, you actually see the word, whether it looks like a photograph or you just see the word, as I explained. And again, that's unusual, but it happens enough that I felt that it was worthwhile to mention it. In most cases, what appears in inner space for most people, sometimes one more than another, is still photographs or still images, videos, sound and voices, and between sound and voices, usually it's more voices than sounds, but we're all different. The reason I'm asking this continuing is that I sometimes feel lightning fast thoughts that seem almost like intuitions. It comes so fast that I don't see that I hear it or see it. Nevertheless, I instantly know what it is or what it is saying, so to speak. Okay, I'm going to stop there. That's what I'm calling the thought ball now. And as I total immersion read Robert presenting this, this started to appear in inner space, that there was something else that was appearing in the Robert story that I hadn't narrated when I did the original Sedona videos. And so I added that in and call it a thought ball. Continuing, and so I was wondering whether this type of thought is words in your definition, or I might need to keep looking in the inner space. My guess is no, it's one of these thought balls. It's not really words, it's not really photographs, it's not really videos or sound or whatever, it's just this thought ball. It's something that appears that has information that you just kind of know, but it doesn't fit into any of the other categories. Continuing, the second question is about when I should watch The Firm, Shrek, and V for Vendetta films. I think at the end of day 3, video 3, there was an image of V for Vendetta displayed on the screen. So was that the timing I was supposed to watch the film? If you could give me some clarification about when to watch those films, that'd be highly appreciated. At the end of day 3 and in the morning of day 4, there are two clips that you're going to see about the art of storytelling with a man named Michael Haig. He refers to Shrek and The Firm. So the ideal time to watch The Firm and Shrek, and actually you should have received an email about this, but maybe not, would be before you watch those two Michael Haig clips, but it's not that big of a deal. But the ideal would be that you watch those before you watch the two Michael Haig clips, or perhaps watch the Michael Haig clips, watch those films if you feel motivated to, and then watch the Michael Haig clips again. But whatever's best for you will be what'll happen. In terms of V for Vendetta, it's fine to watch it any time after you've gone through day 3 or day 4. In my day 5, my 5-day Ultimate Key to Freedom Live that I do now, I don't show V for Vendetta anymore. As I think I mentioned, I show The Game with Michael Douglas instead, because as I continued to offer the live 5-day experience, it seemed to fit better, and we now do it on the afternoon of day four, of day five, instead of the evening of day four like we did with V for Vendetta before. So anytime after you finish day three, after you finish day four, it'll appear as it's meant to appear. Thank you in advance, he says. Okay, thank you, Daichi, again, sorry for the male-female thing. And that's all I have for this week. So thank you, those that submitted comments and questions this week. I wish you all well. I will look forward to my next form of contact with the people that ask the questions and everybody listening, whatever shape that takes. Okay, bye-bye for now.